from A to Z. I can't read the writing. Thanksgiving from A to Z. Okay. Thank you, Brother Carlton. Lord bless you.
Thank you, David. Well, brethren, does it seem like another year has gone by already? And here we are, ready to go by one of the biggest commercial holidays of all, Thanksgiving. 4 days from now, we'll be sitting down to a meal with our families and friends, and we have much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for that even though I have entitled this discourse, Thanksgiving from A to Z, you will come up probably with many, many more thanks that you could give to the Heavenly Father than I'll mention here this morning. 1 Corinthians 15:57 reads, "Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then going on with 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." And 1 Thessalonians 3:7-9, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you by your faith, for now we live, and if you stand fast in the Lord, for what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy which we joy for your sakes before our God." In Psalms 116:17, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." Yes, in 4 days we will celebrate this holiday called Thanksgiving. And it's supposed to be a day of rejoicing. But for many, it is far from rejoicing. It's sadness is in their hearts. For many, many are without homes, without food, without even a family that they can go and visit with. It's become a national holiday in the United States, celebrating the harvest and other blessings of the past year. It originated in the autumn of 1621 when in Massachusetts Bay Governor William Bradford invited neighboring Indians to join the pilgrims for a 3-day festival of recreation and feasting in gratitude for the bounty of the season. But by the end of the 19th century, Thanksgiving Day had become an institution throughout New England and was proclaimed as a national holiday by President Abraham Lincoln in 1863. Now we feel sure that a great number of people do give thanks for all the bounties of the past year. But it also has become a very commercial holiday. The shopkeepers put great stock in these days as a means of getting a little more out of the pockets of the people, we would say. And they said just yesterday that each year they're beginning to bring on Christmas a little bit earlier. We're glad that a time is set aside, though, for more people than usual to praise and thank God. But how much more can the Lord's consecrated people give thanks for all that the Heavenly Father has done for them? It would be impossible, I think, dear brethren, to count all the ways we might thank Him. But as our last text says, that text found in Psalms 116:17, "Let us offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord." We're going to go just for a few minutes through the alphabet from A to Z and see what God has provided for us. I started with A, with angels. Hebrews 1:14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Do we understand the full magnitude of what's being asked here or said here? Yes, we have seen unseen powers who are hourly and daily watching over our every affair. Do we appreciate this fact? Psalms 91:11. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all their ways. It's very difficult, brethren, when we really stop to think about it, that at the end of each day, we take the day's activities to the Lord in prayer and we thank him for what he has provided for us. But likely as not, we have missed many more blessings that he has provided for us in ways of protection and for giving us needed lessons than we could ever imagine. And imagine having an unseen power from the Heavenly Father to guide and watch over our every step. He knows every hair of our head. B is for the bread. When we think of our natural sustenance, we think of bread. But we are told in John 6 and 27, labor not for meat which perishes. And when we think of this that perishes, we go clear back to when the manna was given to natural Israel. And they gathered it in just the right amount, because if they didn't, it would perish. It was gone the next day, and new manna would appear. So labor not for meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Yes, Jesus is giving us this meat that we have, this bread from heaven, God's holy word. Our Lord said in John 6 and 48, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now we know we have to eat to live, but we've been assured that God knows everything, even before we even ask him, as we read in Matthew 6:8, and he'll provide everything, just what we need. Maybe not what we want, but certainly everything that we need. It is the spiritual bread from heaven that we have need of. And we think of this meat in due season of Matthew 24:45. The volumes, the reprints, concordances, dictionaries, manna, songs in the night. And now we even have the internet, websites, and many, many other things that we can go to search for God's Word. Yes, and all pointing to the Bible as our spiritual bread. We can never appreciate this, dear brethren, too much. Our C is our calling. 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you should walk worthy of God who hath called you to where? Unto his kingdom and his glory. Do you realize the privilege and the blessings that we have in store for us if we're faithful? Think of this. A kingdom of and of glory. Glory far surpassing anything we ever have here on this earth. Of course, we don't know what the spiritual life is like, but we know that the glory and his kingdom is going to be magnificent. In 1 Corinthians 1:26, you know your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty and not many noble are called. Who has he called? God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He's not looking for somebody that has all knowledge, is puffed up about it. He's looking for those who are coming to Him on bended knee, asking for His guidance daily, asking to help them make their calling and election sure. What a wonderful prospect it is here to think that God would condescend to choose you and me to follow in Christ's footsteps, to be called God's sons, and to have the hope of living and reigning with Him and Jesus, our Lord and Savior, on the divine plane. If we could just catch the magnitude of this blessing, let us raise our voices daily in thanksgiving for this promise. And our D is for the day in which we live. We are thankful for the day in which we are living. Oh, do we want to see and listen and hear the misery that's going on in this world? No. But our eyes have been opened to the fact of 1 Thessalonians 5:1 and 2. But of the times and seasons, brethren, we have no need, I write unto you, that you know that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Why is this important to us to know this? Why should we be thankful for this? Well, we know that what He told us in John 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will," what? "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." What does this tell us, brethren? I think it distinctly tells us we're living in the harvest of the gospel age, and that Jesus is certainly present, invisibly present, but He's here in a personal way to take home the last members of His body members. Soon, brethren, this privilege of this calling, this high calling, will be over, never to be offered again. Are we thankful for this prospect that's been given to us to run for this prize of the high calling, knowing very well that the day in which we are living, Christ is present and is finishing up the work of the last members of His body? It should give us an opportunity to run even harder and more securely to do God's will. We who have had our spiritual eyesight opened see that indeed, according to the promise, Christ Jesus has returned invisible, and the first work is the gathering of His saints to Himself. We should and we can be ever so thankful for this knowledge, this day that we are living in. And Daniel 12 tells us, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days." Why? Well, if we are right in that one aspect of our chronology, it shows that approximately around 1874 or thereafter, Christ came the second time. And He came for this purpose of taking home His last members of His body. We should, yes, and we can ever be thankful for this knowledge of the day that we are living in. We're not happy about what we see going on in today: political corruption, wickedness in every aspect of life, and what we see of the death and the dying that's going on around us. But we know one thing, that if Christ is present, and certainly we see every evidence of it, that soon the kingdom will take its place of what we see around us today. Let us be ever thankful for this knowledge. Our O is our eyes and ears. "Blessed are your eyes and your ears, for they see and they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, but have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Do we appreciate this blessing? Are we puffed up and proud of the fact that these things have been revealed to us? No. Or are we humbled and desirous to bring about some of the blessings that have been shown to us, that we might give these same blessings to others? F stands for our faith. Yes, and what can we say about our faith? Hebrews 11:1, without faith it's impossible to please God. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Luke 17:5, Lord, increase my faith. And 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Let us never lose our faith or be slack in it. God is now rewarding those whose faith is bright and strong and whose wills are resolute. G stands for the garment that we have. Yes, we have a garment. Here's another blessing. Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will be joyful in my God. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this assurance that our imperfections are covered. We know that our righteousness is like that of Isaiah 64:6, filthy rags. Yes, the psalmist seals this thought of our sins being covered in the 32nd Psalm, where we read, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. Our H is our handiwork. Yes, here's another seemingly yet wonderful blessing the Lord has given to mankind. The psalmist says in Psalms 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. I think this is one of the first things that excited me when I was coming to the Lord, that I could look out at night and see the billions of stars in the sky, so silent, and yet all of them just where God placed them, and our sun giving us just the right heat for life and light. Yes, the glory of God, his firmament shows his handiwork. How wonderful it is to gaze up into the sky and see these millions upon millions of stars, the lights of heaven. The sun brightening and giving life to all it touches. The silent moon in its course. The beautiful flowers and the trees, nature in their course. Yes, we can appreciate something of God's character when we see all that he has made for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I stands for our inheritance. Do we know what it means to have an inheritance? From an earthly standpoint, it means we are the receivers of some wealth. Wherein? Property or money? No, from a mere practical standpoint, it means to come into a family relationship. If faithful, those who have come into Christ will become heirs with him in all this glory and honor of the heavenly realm. We read in Galatians 3:29, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The magnitude of the promise of becoming part of the family of God is almost mind-boggling. To inherit the glory of God, to have immortality, to see the Heavenly Father and the Son and be where they are, and to see all of the heavenly hosts. What an inheritance. What a blessing. Thank you again, Heavenly Father and dear Lord Jesus. is for justice. Now here's another blessing we might overlook. God's justice is part of His throne. It is a foundation principle that makes up all of His dealings with heavenly and earthly beings. God had to be just before He could be merciful. His justice condemned Adam to death. His justice demanded a corresponding price before a release could be granted. And how do we apply this quality of God in our lives, brethren? First, we need to learn more clearly what are our rights and what are the rights of our fellow creatures in and out of the church. Justice would not under any circumstances infringe on the rights, the interests, or the liberties of others. If all new creatures would study the principles of justice and love them, there would be very little, if any, friction. We need to thank God daily for His justice and love and then set about to imitate them wherever we can. K is for the kingdom. Yes. Are we thankful for the prospect of the kingdom? Do we pray daily for its establishment? Are we doing all we can to bring to the attention of the world the need for and the coming reality of the kingdom? Are we making ourselves ready, if faithful unto death, to be the instruments used in conjunction with our Lord Jesus in bringing this kingdom to the groaning members of the human race? You know, we are told to seek first the kingdom of God. Also in the Lord's Prayer, we are taught to pray for this kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is being done in heaven. Dear ones, let the glorious scriptures describing this wonderful kingdom, such as Isaiah 35 and Revelation 21, fill our hearts with gratitude to our Heavenly Father. L stands for our liberty. What a word, liberty. Nations have fought for it. Many have died to attain it. The Lord's people of all should thank God for that we have found liberty through Christ Jesus our Lord. Freedom from the God-dishonoring doctrines of hellfire and Trinity and the Mass. Freedom to think for ourselves, to search the Scriptures daily to know God's will. Oh, there's another point, and I added this for our L, our lips. Our lips. In Hebrews 13:15, we read, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His holy name." How well are we using our lips to praise God? Ephesians 4:25 tells us to speak every man the truth with his neighbor. We have a commission to tell forth the glad tidings, the glad news. In Romans, the first chapter, in verse 16, we read that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. M stands for our mediator. How can we thank the Heavenly Father for the knowledge of the mediator? We read in 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all to be saved." The word "men" has been italicized and is not in the original Greek here. "Will have all to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Early on in Israel's history, Moses stood between Israel and God. And he himself said in Deuteronomy 18:15, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thy brethren, like unto me, and unto him will you hearken." And when we consider that if we are faithful, we'll be a part of that mediator, his body, and that the work will be to restore mankind back to perfection, how thankful we should be. Dear brethren, let's not fool ourselves in any way. We have been told by some of our brethren of the past that we're not part of the mediator and have no part in the mediatorship. Even that the church is now being developed under the new covenant. This is wrong. We know that. Scriptures tell us so. That this mediator is Christ, head and body. And we hope to be faithful to that so we can have a part in that mediatorship. N stands for the narrow way. And here is another blessing. This covenant made with God required a walk, a very difficult walk. The way to glory, honor, and immortality was described as a narrow way. Matthew 7:13 and 14. Enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many therein go that way. Because narrow is the gate, and hard is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. This narrow way, what does it tell us? Few there be that find it? Do we want to be part of those that do find it? I'm sure we do. We know that Almighty God purposely provided a narrow way that only those who earnestly endeavor would be diligent, and diligently strive, that is, to overcome the world, the flesh, and the adversary, would gain life on the divine plane. Let us remember and be glad that we have this way to trod. And O stands for our opportunities. After entering this narrow way, we are given ever so many opportunities to prove our love for God and for our Lord Jesus. Galatians 6:10 tells us, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Some of the ways we might fulfill these opportunities is by visiting the sick, giving a word of encouragement to Christian or neighbor. We have the privilege of letter writing, tracting, phoning, promising, praising worthwhile deeds. There are ever so many ways to do good unto all. If you have a car, you can use this car to the betterment of others. Do you have time? Thank God who gives us opportunities to bring glory to His holy name. P, yes, P stands for prayer. You'll notice I waited now to mention the privilege of the blessings of prayer. Prayer is the hotline to heaven. Prayer is the Christian's lifeline, and don't we ever forget it, dear brethren. We are told to pray always without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. That is, prayer should be made not just when we are in trouble, but when, as the Apostle says, even when abounding. I think sometimes we forget how we are to pray. Always through Jesus' name. Ephesians 2:18, asking for the will of the Father to rule. Here is a partial list of the scriptures of which we shall not take time to read. Ephesians 6:18. Proverbs 15:8. Philippians 4:6. And James 5:16. James 5:16. Does the Lord hear our prayers? Psalms 10:17 and Psalms 99:6. We could spend hours talking about prayer. We could give many wonderful examples, but let's not forget what a blessing it is to enter into prayer with Almighty God and our Lord Jesus, through our Lord Jesus. Q is for quietness. Do we need quietness? How thankful for the peace that we have Job 34:29, when he gives quietness, who then can make trouble? Ecclesiastes 4:6, better is a handful of quietness than both hands full of travail and vexation of spirit. Are we always in turmoil? Is our life so structured that we cannot have the peace and quiet that comes from full trust and faith in God? Let us try to follow the admonition of 1 Peter 3:4. Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. R stands for reason. Again, we may thank our Heavenly Father for the ability to think and reason. Ecclesiastes 7:25, I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things. Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. You know, God is pleased to have His children consider and weigh what they hear and not just blindly stumble on, heedless of His word. Let all naming the name of Christ be like the noble Bereans who search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Our S stands for sanctification. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Leviticus 20:7-8. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be you holy, for I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. This word means to purify and to make holy. It stands to reason, then, that the Word of God is a transforming word. We first change ourselves, purifying ourselves, and then God will set us apart for the doing of His will. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God, even our sanctification. T is for temptations. Are we glad for tests? Well, no one is when they're hard. My brethren, count it all joy, we read, when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. James 1:2-3 and 1 Peter 1:7. Our Lord needed trials. Oh, yes. Even our Lord needed trials and tests, that which He might demonstrate His overcoming spirit. Are we any different than the Lord? 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Beautiful text of Scripture which most of us have tried to imitate. There's no temptation taken you without His common demand, but God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tested above that which you are able, but with the temptation, make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. I like the dialogue much better. Let us use these tests as stepping stones, dear brethren, to our overcoming. U stands for our understanding. Another blessing, our understanding. This understanding is our knowledge. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 4:5-7. Proverbs 4:5-7. This understanding comes from a study of the divine plan as revealed through the Holy Spirit. What we do with this knowledge is another thing, isn't it? If we use it for an occasion of the flesh, then comes the words of 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anything, Let us prize this knowledge we have received, but in humility use it to grow into full stature of manhood. Another use of this word, understand, is sympathy. An understanding person is one who puts himself in the position of the other and sympathizes with their condition. This is an important thing to grasp as Christians. Let us learn to be understanding with each other. And V is for victory. In 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Do we want to be victorious? Even the great company is victorious. But it will not be that victory of the 144,000. In Matthew 25, we have pictured before our mental vision two classes. One wise, one foolish. In the end result, one went into the marriage. The other was turned away. In Revelation 3:11, we are admonished to let nothing take our crown. We have a crown? Well, we have a crown laid up for us, but we don't have it until we're faithful. In Revelation 3:11, we're admonished again to let nothing take this crown. So, in 1 Corinthians, Paul uses a foot runner in a race and says, one receives a crown, so run that you may obtain. 1 Corinthians 9:24. So let us be thankful, that is, that we have a chance for victory and ever strive for it. And W stands for work. Here again is another word akin to opportunities. Briefly, we have at least what? One talent. What we do with this talent, how much effort we put forth with that which we have, will determine our position eventually in the body of Christ or some other station. Jesus tells us to work. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night comes in which no one can work. And then he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so we are lights as well. Let us keep these lights burning by using all in our grasp to promulgate the kingdom and also in building up character. Remember, brethren, the only place where sacrifice comes before work is in the dictionary. X, well, we have no word in the Bible where we start with X. So we'll just go on to our next letter. Y stands for our yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls, Jesus tells us, Matthew 11:29. What a blessing it is to be in the same yoke as our Lord, to have his encouragement and his help, to see his examples. If we could keep this foremost in our minds at all times, what peace would we have? I have overcome, says the Lord. I will never leave nor forsake thee. Thank you, Lord. It is indeed a privilege and a blessing to be with you in this narrow way, in this yoke of yours. And finally, our Z is for zeal. We ask the question, brethren, are you tired and weary? Jeremiah was. He said, I'll not make mention of him nor speak any more of his name, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and could not refrain. Jeremiah 20:9. God is measuring our love for him by how much zeal we have. When we are tired and want to stay home from a meeting, when perhaps there is a public meeting that we could put our out tracks, or maybe we could go to a radio station or TV and then we find excuses for not doing anything? Yes, let us be thankful if we have a burning desire to do all in Jesus' name. We must not let our little candle go out, brethren. Push on, fellow travelers. Ne'er shrink from the Bible. My dear brethren, we have so much to thank God for. And as this Thanksgiving season approaches, let us remember all of what we can give in the way of thanks to our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus. Thanksgiving from A to Z.